In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In service, many people can succeed when they work by themselves, individually. But when we try to put people together as a team, and to work together as a team, conflicts start to happen, disagreement, and they cannot achieve their goal. That's why I'd like to speak with you today about the importance of serving together as a team, not as individuals. And this is the spirit of the Bible. This is the spirit of the early church. This is what we call the life of fellowship. Life of fellowship. Fellowship is being team, being members in one body, the body of Christ. So, for example, in Acts chapter 13, we read in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, and by the way, Kelmet ministered to the Lord. In Greek, Kelmet ministered هنا هتلاقوها liturgy. هي بالعربي بينما كانوا يخدمون الرب. الليتورجي معناها ان بينما كانوا بيخدمون خدمة الليتورجية لربنا يعني في وقت القداس الالهي. So الآية دي as they ministered to the Lord الفيرب هنا المستخدم في الجريك اللي هو الفيرب بتاع الليتورجي يخدم خدمة الليتورجية يعني هما بيصلوا القداس الالهي. And fast لان احنا دايما لما بنصلي ده بنكون صايمين. The Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Saul. Then they have fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and they sent them away. وده اللي بيحصل ان لما بنيجي بنرسم الكهنه او الاسقفه بترسم امتى في القداس الالهي. That's exactly what happened. They were fasting and they prayed, then they laid hands on them and they sent them away. لان عايز اقوله هنا بالرغم this call came from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Church participated in their ordination and they laid hands on them. And they send them in their ministry. واخدين بالكم؟ ليه الكنيسة اشتغلت؟ ليه الكنيسة participated؟ Because that is the teamwork. They are sent by the church. They are sent by the church. مرسلين من الكنيسة. وده يخلينا نقول عشان أي خدمة أقول إن دي خدمة كنسية. It is a church ministry. This ministry has to start in the church and the people, they should be sent from the church. What do I mean by this? We hear about many non-profit organizations for charitable reasons, but they are separate from the church. They are not sent from the church. So yes, they are doing good job. They are helping people. And definitely God will reward them. Because God said he will not forget even a cup of cold water. But can I call it, you know, this is a minister of the church? No, I cannot call this as a minister of the church. Because they are not sent by the church and their origin did not start in the church. So for any ministry, in order to call it ecclesiastical ministry, it has to originate and start from the church. If Paul and Barnabas, after felt the call of the Spirit, they went by themselves, we could not consider them as apostles, because who ordained them? They sent by themselves. They started their ministry by themselves. Like we hear nowadays, some people study theology, graduate from theological seminary, then he starts his own church. What is this? You know, it is, yeah, he's serving the Lord, but he is not sent by the church. He is separate from the church. But in order to be called, you know, part of the church, then this service should start and originate from the church. That's why after the Lord appeared to St. Paul, St. Paul asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" The Lord sent him to the church. He told him, "Go to Hanania, and Hanania will teach you what you should do." Being in the church and serving through the church will protect you from the danger of drifting away. Most of the heretics, if not all of them, they fell in their heresies because they isolated themselves from the church. If they were in the church and listened to the voice of the church, they wouldn't fall in their heresies. That's why the Orthodox servant lives within the church. He never isolates himself from the church. He never lives by his own opinion, but he exposes all his thoughts to the church, to his spiritual father. And if he heard any critique or criticism, he will accept it with humbleness. And if anybody wants to start a dialogue with him or to talk with him, he will come with open heart, with humble spirit, because all of us believe that nobody is infallible and we need to be corrected by others. As St. James told us, and in James chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, let many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." The most dangerous thing in the life of a servant is that he loses this spirit, that he is part of from the church, and he starts to isolate himself and believe that he doesn't want to learn. He is not in this stage. He is beyond this stage and lose the spirit of discipleship. The individual is isolated, but the member is connected. The individual is isolated, but the member is connected. And there is a big danger in being isolated from the community of the believers. And as I said this morning, being a member in the church gives you three important things. Number one, gives you life. Number two, you become functional. Number three, gives you value. If we separate or isolate ourselves from the church, we cannot survive. We will lose our value and also we cannot function. St. Ignatius said, if the church is not your mother, then Christ is not your father. Which means, if Christ is your heavenly father, then you should be in the church your mother. That's how we describe the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the bridegroom of the church. The saints are the members of the church who were made perfect and now living in paradise. And we are the members who are still here on earth. And if I want to be a member in the church, then I have to have fellowship with God. I have to have fellowship with the victorious church, with the cloud of witnesses, and I have to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters here on earth. So I cannot say that I live in fellowship without these three dimensions: to have fellowship with Christ, to have fellowship with the saints, and to have fellowship with the believers. One of the very important passages about the life of fellowship, we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 to 27. St. Paul says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, and if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Actually, from this passage, we can conclude 8 points. There are 8 points in this passage. The first point, that now we are members, not individual. After being baptized, I'm not individual, but I'm a member, part of whole. So I'm a member, the church is the body, Christ is the head. That's number one. Number two, yes, we are different. There is diversity. There is diversity between one member and another member. There is eye, ear, nose, hand, foot in your body. But although there is differences and there is diversity, but there is what? Harmony. and they complement one another. Number three, there is function for every member. Otherwise, this member will have no value. So each true member in the church should be active. If you are not active and if you don't have function in the body of Christ, then there is no need for you. But God actually appointed to each one of us a certain function. Maybe it's too little or too big, but everybody has a function in the body of Christ. Number four, in spite of this diversity, in spite of what's your function in the body, but there is all the members are equal in their honor. So there is equality here. So they are equal in honor and dignity. Number five, there is no conflict or split between the different members of the body, but there is unity and harmony. Number six, there is a need, mutual need, between every member and the other member. Number seven, there is common feeling with pain and suffering and also with joy and honor. As St. Paul said in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with him. If one member is honored, all members will be honored with him. And number eight, there is service from one member to another. So these are 8 points we can conclude them from this passage. We are members in the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. There is diversity, but we complement one another. There is a function for every single member in the body. They are equal in honor and dignity. There is unity and harmony between all these members without split or division. There is mutual need from one member to another, and there is common feeling with suffering and joy at the same time, and also there is service from one member to another. That's why when you read Acts chapter 2, the descent of the Holy Spirit, you will find that the Holy Spirit took actually two forms. Usually focus on one form, that it descended like tongues of fire. But before the Bible records to us that the Holy Spirit descends like tongues of fire, they heard wind blowing. And as the Lord said to Nicodemus, this wind symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So actually the Holy Spirit on that day, they heard it as a wind and also as divided tongues of fire. And this will give us the complete picture. It is one wind, one spirit that came upon all of them. So that is the unity, the oneness. But in the same time, it divided like tongues of fire on each one of them. This is the diversity. So here we can see diversity in oneness. Diversity in oneness. It is very, very dangerous that a person goes by his own mind and becoming wise in his own understanding. Or maybe consult only one person without having, the whole church to examine his thoughts and his theology and his belief system. When a problem arose in the early church concerning the Gentiles, whether they should keep the Jewish tradition or not, what happened? All the disciples and apostles gathered together. And this is the idea of the councils. Everybody, because it is more safe when we meet together and we share our own ideas together. but with your own mind you can drift away. And during the time of Arius, 318 bishops from all over the world, ecumenical council, gathered in order to examine the thought of Arius. So it's very important when I have a thought or idea or new theology or new philosophy to examine it against the truth in the Bible and to make the Holy Church judges not go by my own thinking. And that's why this is a big difference between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church believes the infallibility of the individual, the Pope. But the Orthodox Church believes the infallibility of the Council. The Council has to meet in order to discuss and be guided by the Holy Spirit, following the teaching of the Lord. If two or three assembled in my name, I'll be among them. Actually, one of the most amazing passages in the Bible is Galatians chapter 2. When St. Paul discussed with the Galatians his story with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible that he is preaching, St. Paul actually said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Galatians 1, 11, St. Paul said, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." So St. Paul is saying, the gospel that I preached to you, I didn't learn it from a human being, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Apparently, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and taught him this gospel. As he said in the same chapter, verse 17, that he did not go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before him, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So St. Paul said after the Lord appeared to him, he went to Arabia and stayed there for 3 years. And in these 3 years, the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught St. Paul the gospel, taught him the matters of faith, the doctrines of faith. But it's amazing, in chapter 2, we read, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation," by revelation. So God told St. Paul, please go to Jerusalem. Why? Why to go to Jerusalem? He said, "And communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." So, although St. Paul learned the gospel from Jesus Christ himself, but God told him, "I want you to go to Jerusalem and communicate with the apostles the gospel that you are preaching, and take their approval on your teaching." Why should I take the approval of the apostles? St. Paul said, maybe I might run in vain. Maybe I was deceived. Maybe what I think I understood it right, maybe it's wrong. So here we have a person who is learned directly by God, But God himself asked him to go and check his belief system and his teaching with the apostles. I am saying this because some servant, they don't feel comfortable to have, you know, the coordinator or abuna to review their lessons. And they feel it is humiliating. No, what would he know better than me? Why is reviewing my lesson? If you have this spirit, then you need to think about St. Paul. St. Paul, who learned by the Lord himself, but God told him, go and make the apostles review your lesson, review your gospel, review your teaching. Lest, or maybe you are running in vain. That is the spirit of fellowship. You know, I have to receive from the church the approval of my teaching. That's why he said in the church, give me a right of fellowship. Atuni yamin al-sharika. Verse 7, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, and the gospel of the circumcised was to Peter, for he was working effectively in Peter for the apostleship, to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they should go to the circumcised. Give me the right hand of fellowship. What does mean the hand of fellowship? They approved his teaching. They approved his teaching that he learned from Jesus Christ. So see here how God asked St. Paul to go and get the approval of the apostle on the gospel that the Lord taught to St. Paul. Because the Lord wants us to live in the church and to be part of the church, not to separate ourselves from the church. And as also I said this morning, there are three descriptions of the church, very important: body, building, and vine. If you separate an organ from the body, it will die and will have no function. If you separate a brick from a building, it will have no value. If you cut a branch from the vine, it will wither away. So in order to be functional, and in order to have value, and in order to have life, you need to be in the church. In Romans chapter 12, actually St. Paul spoke to us about 12 different ministries in the church. Because many people think that the only service in the church is the service of Sunday school. And if not serving in Sunday school, then I am not functional in the church. But you will see, actually, in Romans chapter 12, from verse 6 to 16, St. Paul spoke about different functions in the church. And let me explain to you these different functions. So maybe I'm not called to be a Sunday school servant, but there are different capacities I can work through these different functions. And this is the responsibility of us as a servants and as a clergy, to discover the talents, the gifts in everybody, and then to employ it in the right place, to see what's his gift, what did he receive from the Holy Spirit, and then make him function within this capacity. The first ministry that St. Paul spoke about it is prophecy. Not the ministry of the prophecy. It is to give a message from God. Because God speaks to us through the prophets. As St. Paul said, in former days, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. And now, in our days, God's speaking to us in His Son. But still, God speaks to us through prophets. People have the spirit of prophecy. What's the spirit of prophecy? No, that's like the exhortation that is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Some people have this gift to give homilies and sermons, and you feel that their words are anointed by the Holy Spirit. So actually they are giving us message from God. This is a ministry of, you know, prophecy. Second ministry, diaconia. Diaconia, when we take care of the different needs of the people, to serve the people in their needs. Like, for example, here in America, we have many newcomers. How to serve their needs? This is called diaconia. How to receive them and facilitate their life here. It's part of our fellowship with one another. Number three, teaching. Teaching is different than prophecy. Teaching is to explain to people the Word of God, theology, church history, doctrines, rituals. This is the gift of teaching. Then, number four, it is exhortation. Exhortation mainly is different than prophecy. Prophecy is a message from God, but exhortation is to challenge people to repent and to return back to God. Like the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his ministry was focused on repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what we call it, exhortation. So prophecy, to communicate message from God. Exhortation is to challenge people to repent and return back to God. Like what you do in visitation, when you go and search for the lost sheep and try to challenge people to return back to God. Teaching is to teach the Word of God and to teach the church history, theology, doctrines, rituals, etc. Diaconia is to be attentive to the needs of the people and to serve their needs. Giving, the gift of giving, whether it is giving from your money or from your effort or from your time, this is another gift. Economy, it is a gift of administration, leadership, organizing things, putting things together. The gift of mercy, it is to serve like those with special needs, like the poor, the sick, handicapped, elderly, senior citizens, etc. The ministry of love, it's what they call it now, public relation. How you have communication with others, especially those from outside. So that's another ministry. St. Paul spoke about it in Romans chapter 12. Worship. Worship is like the service of leading the people in praising the Lord and in singing, like midnight praises or singing in the liturgy or singing, you know, in our meeting, special meeting. Fellowship, it is like sharing other in their sorrows, in their losses, in their grief, or in their joy. The service, the ministry of the saints, to be attentive to the needs of the servants of the church and their needs. The ministry of the strangers, like the guests or the strangers who come and spend some time with us, how to be attentive to their needs and to take care of them. So actually these are 12 different ministries. St. Paul spoke about it in Romans 12. And there are more services. But why I'm mentioning this, to give you different, yeah, St. Paul mentioned different lists, but I want to say it's not only Sunday school. You can serve in different capacity. So St. Paul said, so having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what's evil, cling to what's good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor give preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent spirit serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So St. Paul actually mentioned these 12 different ministries here in Romans chapter 12. Even in excommunication or in discipline, the church doesn't make a decision to excommunicate somebody or to discipline somebody except through team. That is the idea of having clerical council. A person by himself cannot judge or discipline, because we need to eliminate any chances of being biased or partiality. That's why there has to be like a council composed of at least three persons in order to examine and to make a judgment. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, when a person lived in sexual immorality. St. Paul did not make judgment by himself. But as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, there were three powers together here. St. Paul said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, so it is the power of God, when you are gathered together, that is the assembly, like the council, gathered together. When you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, even St. Paul did not make a decision by himself, but he made a decision through the church that's led by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this decision to excommunicate or to discipline, what is the purpose? In order to save the spirit. When he said to deliver such a person to Satan, because actually when you excommunicate somebody, you are cutting him off from the body of Christ. And within the body of Christ, we have this protection. But outside the body of Christ, as if we are delivered to Satan. But he said, let this person be delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, earthly punishment, that his soul may be saved, that his soul may be saved. But again, the principle here that even St. Paul did not make a decision by himself to excommunicate somebody. And the church doesn't make a decision to discipline or to excommunicate somebody by individual. It has to come from a council. That is the spirit of fellowship, spirit of having like team working together, because we are members in the body of Christ. So when we live together in true fellowship, we will get rid of our individuality. And we will be blessed by having different or diversity in gifts. And this diversity will enrich the church, the body of Christ. And here we can see that the service, the amount of service will be multiplied. Because actually we will multiply the energy of each individual multiplied by the number of the people. And you can see here the volume of the service, how it be very, very enlarged. And most importantly, we will get rid of our pride. We will get rid of our ego and will experience the sweetness of humbleness and the true spirit of love when we work together. And we will live in harmony with one another. Yes, every member makes his own distinguished contribution, but this contribution is part from the big picture. That's actually the spirit of the church, the spirit of fellowship, how to live together in fellowship, because we are members in one body, the body of Christ. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.